Ephesians chapter 2, it'll be familiar scripture tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read a couple of verses and then focus on a word. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Scott, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. One thing, I've probably mentioned it before, but I'm going to mention it again. I always tell people in the Bible study class, you want to look at verses, make sure you read them, as I call it, from period to period. Because if you look at the verse, the end of verse 8, there's a colon there. And what that means is that verses 8 and 9 are one whole sentence. And so it's always important to look at that, especially if you're trying to learn something about a particular verse or what that's saying. Make sure you may focus on a particular verse that may be in the middle of a sentence. But make sure you read the whole sentence first. It gives you the context and lets you understand what they're talking about in that whole verse. And so to help you understand the verse. So always, always, always look for those. I hadn't in a long time, I need to teach that soul or the new convert class again. Whenever I teach that class and we would go over that occasionally, I would just like either, sometimes it was unintentional, I'd read a verse and it would be in the middle of a sentence like that and I'd get stopped by one of the students and say, Brother Mark, that's in the middle of a sentence, isn't it? And I'm like, all right, they're paying attention. So always look for that whenever you're reading. Also, unfortunately, this is another thing a lot of you probably already know, too many Bibles don't do this anymore. This one doesn't. A lot of them will have paragraph marks, those little funny marks. It looks like two lines with a half circle on it. What those do is that shows you the paragraphs in the original writing, okay? They wrote in paragraphs in Greek. And so those marks show you the paragraph. And that way, if you're studying a particular sentence, then you can go and read that whole paragraph, and then you can read the chapter. You see what I'm saying? You just kind of expand out from that verse. And so if you want a good study Bible, when you go look for those paragraph marks, and that way it'll help you with your Bible study, is because you can find out, okay, here's the sentence, oh, here's the paragraph, and it'll help you a lot with understanding of the Word of God. So anyway, the word we're going to focus on is the third word in verse 8, which is grace. Yes, okay, this can be a little, I'm going to warn you, tonight is going to be a little interactive. Amen? So that means I'm going to ask questions and you guys respond or not, whichever you feel like, I guess. But we're gonna focus on the word grace tonight. That word grace, it's very important. And I've got some things I want to bring out. But before I do that, this is the interactive part of the evening. When I say the word grace in just two or three words at the most, not a sentence, but in just two or three words, when you hear that word grace, what do you think of? Okay, I heard Jesus, favor, okay, mercy, your birthday, there you go. What else over here? Forgiveness, what else? Saving, there we go. What else? Anything else? Unmerited love, okay. That word grace, it's a little word, but it's big. Amen? It's a big word. Anything else? Amazing. Write a song, brother. Undeserved, okay. Now, I'm going to read. If somebody comes to you and they say, what sets the Christian faith apart from every other faith in the world, it is that word, grace. Okay? You can say Jesus, but they all have their if you will, the ones they worship, okay? They'll just say, well, you know, we worship Muhammad or we worship whoever. You worship Jesus. That doesn't tell me anything different. What's different? It's grace, okay? Now, I want you to listen to this. This is in the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible. One of the distinctive features of the religion of the Bible, this Bible, talking about the Christian faith, one of the distinctive features of the religion of the Bible is grace. No other system of religious thought, past or present, listen, contains an emphasis on divine grace comparable to that of the Bible. None. There is none. And everything that you guys have said is a good way to describe grace. It's a good way to describe grace. One of the definitions, this is from one of my Greek language books. It says a disposition marked by inclination to generosity. Okay, it's one of my school books. That's why they use all the big words. So here's what it means. A disposition, in other words, you're disposed. You know, like, you know, some of us are just disposed to be certain ways, right? A disposition, in other words, you're disposed by an inclination of generosity, an inclination to give, right? And so what it's talking about God. It says that is part of God. He is already disposed to incline himself to give generously to people. Amen? That's what he does. He gives. He gives the greatest gift, which would be salvation. Amen. So he gives that great gift, but now it also says this. Unmotivated, this inclination to generosity, this generosity that is given is unmotivated by the worth of the recipient. Okay, did you get that? In other words, it doesn't matter how important the one getting it is. It doesn't matter how big or how small, how good or how bad. The fact that this is given has nothing to do with the worth of the recipient. In other words, if you deserve it or not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how good you think you are. Doesn't matter how bad you think you are. Doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are. Nothing matters. And see, that's what's important about that word grace. It doesn't matter who you are. God's grace is there and available for everyone. Amen? It is. So when you think about that word grace, think about it. There's no other system of religious thought, past or present, that contains an emphasis on divine grace comparable to that of the Bible. Now, here's the thing though. Even some folks who read this very same Bible we do, they miss that important word grace. You know, I talk about Jehovah's Witnesses a lot because I grew up part of my life in it. Grace is a foreign thought to them. They don't understand grace. They don't look at God. They like to say Jehovah, which is okay. There's nothing wrong with saying Jehovah. Amen? Amen. If a Jehovah's Witness comes to the door, don't be afraid to say Jehovah. Amen? It's in the Bible. It's okay to say Jehovah. It's not a bad word. And so, but the thing is, grace is something foreign to them. They believe that you work hard, you knock on doors, you sell as many watchtowers and awakes, give out as many as you can, invite as many people, talk to as many people as you can, and then, maybe, at the resurrection, God will find favor on you and you'll be resurrected. That's what they believe. One of the most depressing funerals to go to is a Jehovah's Witness funeral. It could be a person who has been a Jehovah's Witness since 10 years old, and they could have died in their late 80s. They attended every Kingdom Hall meeting. They went out every Saturday, gave out watchtowers and awakes, and nobody will say that there's any assurance. In every single case, we hope they found grace and favor in Jehovah's eyes, and He will raise them up at the resurrection. That's what they believe. They don't believe in hell either. You know, if you don't get raised up at the resurrection, well, it's not really that big a deal because you're just going to go to sleep and not ever wake up again. But there's no grace in it, even using this very same Bible that we use. Muslims, There's obviously no grace in that. It's really, it's the same thing. You do all you can. You do what you're supposed to do. And hope that you find favor in Allah's eyes and He'll bring you up to paradise when you die. Now, of course, if you die in a holy war, it's an automatic one-way ticket. That's why they are willing to blow themselves up and throw themselves into battle when all it takes is somebody to declare jihad, holy war. And you can go, and if you get killed in a holy war, it's a one-way ticket to paradise. That's why they're so fanatical about it. They think if they die, they're going to get to go to heaven or paradise. And so there's no such thing as grace. Allah is not a loving, caring, wonderful, personal God. To Jehovah's Witnesses, Jehovah is not a wonderful, loving, caring God. There's not anything about a personal relationship there. And so that is what sets... If anybody ever asks you a question, what is different about Christianity? It's the word grace. That's what sets the Christian faith apart from every other system of religious thought in this world over. I want you to think about that for just a moment. That is what... That word grace, it embodies everything that the Bible is about. It embodies everything that the Bible is about. One of the most common definitions you'll hear of grace is this. It's two words, and it's the way you'll hear it probably most often defined, and that is unmerited favor. Those two words, and if you think about everything we've talked about tonight, those two words, it's a nice, quick, concise, and true definition of biblical grace. Unmerited favor. God has favor towards us, and we don't deserve it. We don't. Jesus died on the cross, and that was an act of grace. That was the ultimate act of grace. He died on a cross. Why? So we could be saved. What does it say here? In verse 8, for by grace, by God's unmerited favor, that's how we're saved. But there's another component to it, through faith. Amen? For by grace are ye saved through faith. You got to believe. And if you believe, God will put that unmerited favor upon you in your life, and you can be saved. Because He loves you. He's not vengeful. He's not wanting people to go to hell. I've mentioned these verses so many times in Ezekiel 33:11. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He doesn't want it to happen. He told Peter to write to us that He wants all to come to repentance. He doesn't want anyone to perish. That's what He says. That right there is grace. So, thinking about that, and what we've said so far and things, other things that people have heard, is there somebody else you could say, well, you know, after hearing that and what others have said, there's another word, two or three, that I think about now when I think of that word grace. Is there anything else? Anyone else? Love? Amen. Unearned favor? Amen. Anything else? Forgiveness. Now, the word grace in our English Bibles. Now, I say the English word grace, okay? The Greek word that is translated to grace appears several times in the Gospels. But in the English, it translated over to grace in the English, it only appears three times in the Gospels. That's all. In the Gospels. Not all of the New Testament, but just in the Gospels. It only appears three times. Two of those are in the book of John. The first one is in Luke chapter 2. We're going to flip around the Bible. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. I want us to see something wonderful here. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. We're going to see something. There is a common thing regarding the word grace in the Gospels. And we're going to see that as we look at three different verses. These three different verses, there's a common, thread we can call it with these verses. Look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong. This is talking about Jesus. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was, and the grace of God was what? Upon him. Amen. This is Jesus Christ. This is the first time that the Bible uses the word grace, and who is it used towards or about? Jesus Christ. All right, now let's go to John chapter 1. Let's go to John chapter 1. God's unmerited favor, His love, was upon Jesus as He grew. John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, the Word being Jesus, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of and truth. The second time we see the word grace in the Gospels, and who is it talking about? Jesus Christ. The grace was upon Him. He was full of grace. And now let's go to look at verse 17 there. For the law was given by Moses, but and truth came by. Do you see something common here with the word grace in the Gospels? Who is it dealing with? Who is it talking about? So how did grace come to man? Through Jesus Christ, yes. It is Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, the Son of God, who came to this earth. When He came, He brought grace with Him. Amen? Now I want you to understand, this is a different grace than what we see in the Old Testament. We know that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's why God chose him out to build the ark. And there's other places. If you want to do a little study, look up the word grace in the Bible, and you will find that in the Old Testament, grace came to individuals for a specific purpose, for a specific period of time. Not that they only had grace for like a year and that was over with. That's not what I'm saying. But the grace came, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It came, and he was there. He did what God wanted him to, and the grace of God was with him. But grace was not universal to all mankind. The grace of God came to individuals who by their actions showed their belief in God. I'm trying to word this carefully, because now in the New Testament, what do we find? We find that grace comes, the grace of God comes through what? Through, right? What was that word in Ephesians 2:8? By grace are you saved through faith. So when we believe in God, guess what? When Jesus came, He brought universal grace. In other words, grace is available to anyone who through faith will trust in Jesus Christ. It's not just a particular person for a particular job. It is to anybody that unmerited favor is there so that grace will come. And guess what? Anybody can be a recipient of that wonderful, unmerited gift from God, which is in salvation, if you just believe. Isn't that wonderful? Because remember, it's unmerited, right? We don't deserve it. And you know, the grace doesn't just stop when you get saved. You know, I preached here lately a couple weeks ago about the power of the cross. You remember that one? I do, because I felt terrible. Oh, Brother Mark. Okay, I was trying to elicit a little sympathy. It didn't work, which is good. Here's the thing, though. The power of the cross didn't stop when you got saved, Christian. And the grace in your life didn't stop the moment you got saved either. Amen? If God does something wonderful in your life, guess what? That's grace. Just because you get saved doesn't mean you deserve something from God. Amen? It doesn't mean you deserve anything from God. Just because you got saved, just because you accepted Jesus Christ through faith, does not mean you deserve it. And it doesn't mean you deserve anything after you get saved. When God does it, He does it. Why? Because He loves us. Amen? Remember, the thing that sets the Christian faith apart from every other thing in the world is that word, grace. And so remember that when people ask. None of us are worth the generosity of God, even after we get saved. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I do. I know it's hard to believe for some of you, I'm sure. But I do. I make mistakes. I goof up. I have to apologize. But His grace is still there. Amen? His grace doesn't leave me when I make a mistake. If I sin, if I let something happen or get distracted or whatever and I sin, His grace hasn't left me because all I have to do is say, God, forgive me, and I'm restored. Boom. Now, that doesn't mean when I sin, that doesn't mean He kicks me out and I got to go through the whole salvation process all over again, because His grace, part of that wonderful unmerited favor, is that when we get saved, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Amen? That's part of grace. Did you also know, though, part of His, part of God's unmerited favor is spanking us when we sin. You ever think about that? Part of His unmerited favor, His love, is when He disciplines us when we sin. That's an expression of His love. He says, I'm not going to throw you to the pits of hell because you've sinned, but I am going to wear you out. Amen? So that you will ask for forgiveness. And you know what? There's always consequences for sin. Amen? See, I think that's one thing we need to teach. We need to teach new Christians, because I think sometimes we get so happy they got saved, we forget to tell them there's a few realities of the Christian life they need to understand. If you sin and you ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you, but that does not mean there will be the consequences will not be there. Even if you get God's forgiveness, there may still be consequences for your sin. Oh, well, that ain't true, Brother Mark. Oh, it isn't. Ask David. Amen? David was forgiven, but he paid for that sin from the moment it happened until the day he died. He paid for it. And so there's always consequences to our sins. But keep in mind, God's grace is about forgiving sin, not ignoring it. Think about that for just a second. God's grace is about forgiving sin, not ignoring it. Grace is not about turning a blind eye to sin. You see, God's grace, He doesn't ignore sin. He wants to forgive sin. And the way He did that, the things He did to ensure that can happen, is by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross and to be risen again. Amen? So God doesn't ignore sin. He's in the business of forgiving sin, not ignoring sin. Amen? Christian, you know, we are to be to each other the way God is to us. The relationship we have with God and Jesus Christ, that's the relationship we're to have with one another. Did you know that? Amen. And part of that is, did you know we're supposed to show grace to each other? We are. And part of that grace is forgiving each other of sins. Not I'm talking about sins between us. But that doesn't mean we ignore sin either. Amen. If God doesn't ignore sin, we don't ignore sin. But we forgive. And if we as a church could get to the place where we show grace to one another the way God shows grace to us, whew, what kind of church would we have? Well, Brother Mark, I thought we have a good church now. We do. But boy, what would it be like then? Amen? I don't know if I've mentioned this lately. Some of you probably get tired of hearing me say it. But I don't care if 100 people get saved between now and the end of the year. I'm not satisfied. Amen? I'm not. The Bible says that God wants all to come to repentance. And if God's not going to be satisfied till everybody's going to get everybody gets saved, I'm not going to be satisfied either. Amen? And you shouldn't be either. You shouldn't be either. We should always want more of God. We shouldn't be happy with where we're at right now with God. We should always want more of God. That's why God's got us on this journey, Seek Me, this year. It's so that we can have more of God. To draw closer to Him. To be more intimate with Him. To know more about Him. We need to want and desire more of God. And when we do that, that word grace becomes a part of our life. When you tell somebody, and we have to, because I know I've had periods of time in my life, I've been probably guilty of this too. If you tell somebody, they say, well, what's different about the Christian religion? Say, well, the word grace. Well, what's that? It's unmerited favor. It's Him forgiving us. It's Him doing this. It's Him doing that. And they'll say, well, how come I don't see that in Christians? Ouch. And you know, if somebody says that, there's certain things you just can't defend. And if you try, you're going to make a mess of it. Amen? All you can say then is, you know, there's a lot of Christians out there that don't do what they're supposed to. A lot of Christians out there that they forget, they get distracted, whatever it may be, things may happen, you know, whatever. But just because I don't do what I'm supposed to doesn't change the truth of the word grace. Amen? So think what would happen if more people saw more Christians being gracious. Amen? And not just to each other, but to them. Think about that for a second. What if we as a church showed grace to those who are lost and are outside the doors of this church and the people we come in contact with? And, you know, this really bothers me, but I've heard more than one say it, so I believe it to be true. Because I've heard more than one, whether it's male, waitress, waiter, doesn't matter. I've heard so many say this, that some of the rudest customers are Christians on Sunday. I've heard a lot of people say that. And one of them is my niece, who's a waitress at the Olive Garden, and she's a Christian. And she talks about how Christians, you know, they just come from church. And they're rude. They're demanding. There's no grace in their attitude or their life. Oh, church, if we could have grace towards the lost. Amen. Did God not have grace towards us before we got saved? So should we not have grace towards those that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior? If we can't have grace with each other, there's no way we're going to have grace with the lost. No way. If we can't stand up and be able to give a word of testimony in church, if we can't tell another Christian about something spiritual, if we get so locked up we can't do that, how are we going to do it to somebody that doesn't know Jesus? If we can't show grace to each other, how are we going to do it to somebody that doesn't know Jesus? That word grace, it's big. It's important. It is what... I'm going to put it this way. I've been saying, you know, what sets Christianity apart. No, grace is what sets Jesus apart. Grace is what sets Jesus apart from Muhammad. Grace is what sets Jesus apart from Buddha. Jesus is what what sets Jesus apart from some 1 million or so Hindu gods that are out there. I don't know if you know much about Hinduism, but folks, guess what? A lot of that stuff's regional, and there's like 1 million gods in Hinduism. It just depends on what part of India you're growing up in. Amen? Grace is what sets Jesus Christ apart. You ready for this? Grace is what sets Jesus Christ apart from that big tree out front. Are you with? Is somebody following me on that one? You know, the people that, oh, God's in nature. You know? You with me on that one? God's in the trees. I'm glad. Sometimes I'm glad this isn't filmed. God's in the trees. He's in the forest. He's in the animals. I don't know. I have yet to see a tree show me any grace. Amen? Hadn't happened yet. But God does. Jesus Christ does. You know why God shows grace? Because of Jesus. So as we've talked about this, anybody, is there some other word or phrase or something that's popped into your mind regarding the word grace? Oh, sufficient. That's good. Yes. There is nothing more sufficient than grace. Amen. Anything else? Gift. Amen. Unconditional. Yes. Fullness. Amen. If you could take all those words, I'm probably going to go back and listen to this and write all these words down that everybody's mentioned. And, you know, it dawned on me and then I forgot to, and I don't know how well it went over. Just for the sake of being that this service is recorded, having a microphone out there, so everybody, when you said whatever word you were going to say, it could have been on the microphone and it would have been recorded. But I've repeated the words, so I'm going to go back and I'm going to try to get all these words and put them all together and come up with what will probably be a good-sized paragraph to describe grace. And do you know what? I want you to think about this for just a second. Scott, if you'll come. I want you to think about this for just a second. I'm not sure how many words have been mentioned or how many phrases. I'm going to take a guess at 15 to 20 maybe. I don't know. But do you realize that when I take this and try to put it all together, it will still not be able to fully define and explain God's grace. Do you realize that? That's how big His grace is. God cannot be fully defined in human words. God cannot be fully imagined in the human brain. If He could, He wouldn't be much of a God. I've said that before. Amen? Where is God's grace in your life? Are you experiencing God's grace in your life? Are you able to... Do you have that same attitude of grace to others? You know, sometimes we get caught up in a situation and we have a difficult time extending grace to others. But you know, there are some Christians out there, grace is not a part of their life with anybody. They're saved, they're going to heaven, but when it comes to grace, that's just some they can't extend to the church and they can't extend to people outside the church very well at all. That's just, as I like to say, their personality. And I hadn't mentioned this one in a while, but I'm going to throw it out there real quick. Well, that's just the way I am. Boy, I don't know how many Christians I've heard say that. I would love to be able to hear, you know, somebody say, I just can't help but tell people about Jesus every time I see Him. That's just the way I am. Woo! Yes, amen. But usually when people say that, they're covering up a fault in their life. Well, they just can't get used to it. That's just the way I am. Well, I guess God can't fix you then, huh? That's what they're saying. I mean, think about it. If a person says that, they are saying, God cannot fix me. I am unfixable. God, by His grace, can fix anybody and anything. Amen? So is God's grace, is that, remember in that one definition, it used the word a disposition? Is that your disposition? Do you have a disposition of grace? It used the word inclination to generosity. Do you have that inclination to extend grace to others? God, Christian, God extended that grace to you. We should extend it to others. Amen. And there may be somebody here tonight. I never, ever. Well, I'm not going to say that because I'm sure there's been a time or two. But I try never to end a service without extending an offer for somebody to accept the grace of God through salvation. Amen. Doesn't matter how many people's been here. We've had folks that's been members of this church since they were little come to Christ. Amen? So the question is this. Have you received that wonderful grace, that amazing grace in your life through salvation in Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Christ by faith? Asked God to forgive you of your sins? Is that grace been extended to you? Is that part of your life? Has God saved you? Maybe it's just like, as we've talked about grace and thought about it, it's just like really completely hit you what that word means and the importance of that word. And maybe that you haven't ever experienced that grace in your life. If you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. Dear Father, we thank you, God, for this night. God, I thank you for your grace. God, all of these words that have been mentioned tonight, Father, Lord, there's no way we could put them together and really define, Father, your grace. But God, help us, each of us, me and all of us, Father, as well as we can, as best we can, in the human language that you've given us, Father, come to that full understanding, God, of how much you love us and that powerful, loving grace that you extend to us and all mankind. Father, I ask, Lord, that if there's somebody here that grace isn't part of their life, God, make it so clear to them that it becomes part of their life tonight, one of your children. And God, if there's somebody here tonight that's never received that wonderful grace, God, you've not saved them. They've never come and by faith accepted Christ as their Savior and asked for you to forgive them of their sins. Lord, I pray that that becomes so real to them. Father, that God, all confusion is gone. I pray for the Holy Spirit upon them in such a powerful way, Lord. There's no confusion. Everything's crystal clear. Father, move, Lord, now in all of our hearts, in all of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.